Around the world, hundreds of cruise ships remain stranded because of border closures and no sail orders due to the COVID-19 pandemic. They've been emptied of paying passengers, of course, but an estimated 100,000 crew remain trapped at sea, with reports of hunger strikes and some deaths prompting concerns for their well-being. In the US alone, it's estimated there are more than 54,000 workers on board 85 cruise ships. Jim Walker is a maritime lawyer based in Miami. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I mean, these are extraordinary numbers. Why are these people stuck in this way?
Well, these are crew members from around the world. Of course, we had a no-sail order here in the United States that our Centers for Disease Control issued. That was in mid-March, March 13th. And the cruise lines all thought that it would be just a month suspension of operations, so they didn't send their crew home. They now find themselves with our CDC extending the no-sail order to the end of July, to July 24th. And so they then began to have the problem of a problem that they view as an expensive problem of having to send 100,000 seafarers back to their home countries around the world. So when you're looking at arranging flight for 100,000 people, let's say it's a $1,000 airfare to fly back to India or the Philippines or Indonesia or even Australia, that would turn out to be about $100,000. So the cruise lines have miscalculated this phenomenon and the spread of this virus, and they're faced with a lot of very unhappy crew members, many of which they're no longer paying. So it's a real mess here in Miami.
So is it clear that it's commercial imperatives that have led the cruise companies to keep these people on board, or is it a combination of decisions that were made earlier and these restrictions now on what the boats can in fact do?
In all fairness, it well could be a combination of borders being closed, airports being closed. But what we're seeing here in Miami is the cruise lines are affirmatively telling their crew members, hey, listen, the problem is with the U.S. Center for Disease Control. They're the ones prohibiting you from coming into the U.S. What our CDC is saying, though, is just the opposite. Listen, our ports are open, our airports are open, but the cruise lines have to make arrangements for private transportations. The cruise lines, otherwise you're going to have people wandering around at the airports, spreading the virus. The CDC does not have patience for this type of conduct. And the cruise lines have said, this is just too expensive. We can't afford to fly people around the world simply because the CDC is ordering us to do so. So they have delayed doing that. And we're now, 65, 70 days past the original CDC no sail order, and the people are losing their wits and losing their patience. There have been at least 5 suicides here, hunger protests, and otherwise.
So, say what they might, these cruise companies can't hold people against their will, can they?
No, of course not. It's a very fundamental part of maritime law. So 35 years ago when I was in law school, I learned that the repatriation of a seafarer, that is the returning of crew members around the world to their home locations to be with their family, it's a long-standing, very fundamental legal obligation of a maritime employer that can be dated back to the medieval sea codes. So, through the centuries, you see all types of plagues and all types of sicknesses at sea. You can't, as a multi-billion dollar cruise industry that doesn't pay U.S. taxes and avoids our labor and wage laws and has a tremendous built-in advantage, you can't take an attitude that it's just too expensive. So even $100 million, if that's what it takes to fly these poor people back home, it's just a drop in the bucket given the enormous wealth of these cruise lines.
So what are the conditions then that people are experiencing on these boats?
Well, what we're hearing from crew members on a daily basis is they feel, one, uninformed. They're not being told exactly when or how they're going to get home. They're staying in either the crew member cabins, many of which don't have balconies, don't even have windows for that matter. They're unpaid. Now, some cruise lines are giving a small daily stipend of around $10 a day to the crew members. to be used at the cruise mart, to the company store, basically. $10 will get you a pack of smokes and an American Bud Light, and that's about it. These are people who are supporting their extended families back home, so they feel a sense of desperation and frustration with what they're experiencing on these ships.
And so what recourse is there then? What can these people do to try and get what you say is their right?
Well, the problem is this, is not only do they not have any union or labor representation, is the cruise lines have put one-sided arbitration agreements that prohibit crew members from filing lawsuits here in the United States. I know our legal system is a bit different than that of Australia. Here in the United States, if you have a grievance that you can't resolve with a major corporation, you can hire a lawyer, you can go into court, you can file a lawsuit, you can have a judge and a jury, and you can have a full range of compensation and remedies that exist to anyone who files suit. The crew members can't file suit, so there's not much, quite frankly, that an attorney can do for them on the short term. So they really have very few rights, certainly no rights for, through a labor union, as I said, or from that perspective, and they have very few legal rights that an attorney can enforce for them.
But I mean, if these individuals are starting to hunger strike, if, as you say, there's been some instances of suicide, I mean, there is responsibility on the part of these employers.
Well, there should be responsibility, but holding them accountable is an entirely different matter. So I think that's part of their frustration. We've had many hundreds of crew members contact us, and we explained the lay of the land. We explained the significance of the arbitration agreements that the cruise lines have all required to be placed in the employment contracts. And that's why you're seeing you're seeing, quite frankly, something I haven't seen in my 40 years of practicing maritime law. Crew members are basically striking. I mean, it's ironic to call it a strike because they're not being paid, and they're not paying customers on the ships, but they're protesting. Some of these crew members have gone overboard intentionally, otherwise ending their lives in other manners. And it's a very frustrating type of situation that we're hearing from the ships, and unfortunately there's not a lot that an attorney can do for them here.
So, I mean, are you aware of what these staff members are actually doing? I mean, are they organizing collectively, for example, on the boats at least to try and put pressure on the operators to get them off, even if, as you say, there aren't some of the normal systems in place like union representation?
Well, what we've seen is a lot of crew members go to social media. A number of the U.S. citizens have called up the major networks. So we have seen interviews being done via Skype with crew members on the ships who are complaining about their situations. We see a lot of posts on Facebook and on Twitter and so forth and so on of people crying out for attention. And it's really only through bringing awareness to the situation and going on social media and making a protest are they getting any true response from the cruise industry. So, you know, the cruise industry's representatives are saying they're doing the best they can. They're blaming either our CDC or the various countries around the world complaining that the ports and airports are closed. But it really comes down primarily to an issue of money. If the cruise lines wanted the crew off the ships when their passengers left a couple of months ago, they could have made that happen.
Jim Walker, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed.
All right, good morning.
Jim Walker is a Miami-based maritime lawyer.